all those years of training, and it's finally paid off. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, the war of the worlds. We saw this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ met with his disciples, and he told his disciples, look, I want my glory to shine out of your lives. And Jesus said, I'm establishing my church. He said, I'm going to, when I leave, in a private meeting with his disciples, Satan gone, he meets with them and he tells them, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm planning to do. He says, I'm going away, but I'm going to come back. We'll see that in just a moment. But in between times, what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave. The Holy Spirit's going with me, but I'm going to send him back. The Father's going to send him back, and he's going to infill you. He's going to come and live inside of you. He's going to come and work through every individual local church. He is going to, Jesus is specifically speaking about establishing the local church, and that he is going to, his Spirit, which we saw this morning, his Spirit, which was centered there in him, he said, my Spirit's going to be poured out on all flesh. My Spirit is going to go all over the world. My Spirit is going to convict men all over the world of sin and of righteousness, of judgment. And those who receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, those who receive Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God is going to live inside of them, and they're going to travel. And they did. They travel all over Asia. They travel all around. They preach the gospel later down in this area. They traveled, and now the Word of God and the Church of Jesus Christ has traveled, and it fills the entire globe. Everywhere the Spirit of God is working. Everywhere around the world, the Spirit of God is moving. All around the world, in local churches, God is working. People are getting saved. Lives are being changed. The Spirit of God is coming to live inside of people. It's happening, just like Jesus said it was going to happen. Satan thought that he had ended it all by getting Jesus to the cross, but he started, or helped start, the entire thing. The Spirit of God came, began to convict men of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. People got saved. The preachers from that day went forward and preached the gospel. People got saved and lives were changed. And his word has spread through the entire world. We have invaded the world. We are in this world. The Spirit of God is working. However, Satan is still fighting. His demons are fighting around the world. They're fighting the Church of Jesus Christ. They're fighting the people of God. There is a battle between the things of God and the things of Satan. And as the Lord moves forward, as he advances in this world, Satan is doing everything he can to oppose it. And you can sense it. The world can sense it, that something is going on. We can sense the fact that something big is about to take place. It doesn't matter what world religion you're involved in. Every world religion seems to feel the same thing, that something is coming to an end. Well, the Bible tells us what is going to take place. The Bible tells us that as Christ is working, that the Bible tells us that things are going to wax worse and worse. Men are going to get more and more anti-God as others are getting saved. As the Church of Jesus Christ grows, as the kingdom of Jesus Christ grows on this earth, as we begin to take more and more possession of this world, Satan is doing more and more everything he can to oppose man taking back dominion of this earth from him. Man at one time had given it to him. Jesus took it back, and it has been spreading for 2,000 years. The work of God has moved on this planet, and now the Church of Jesus Christ is everywhere. But the Bible teaches us that Satan is going to oppose and oppose and oppose until the Lord comes to a point where he says, okay, now the time has come to end this thing. And when that takes place, the Bible tells us Jesus tells us, he tells his disciples, when that time comes, Jesus will come back and receive us unto his own. John chapter 14 says this, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. This speaks about the rapture of the church. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, and here's the key, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. How? What is going to happen? What will happen? When is it going to happen? And what will happen after the rapture? That's what we're going to talk about tonight in the message entitled, The Rapture of the Church. Let's pray and ask the Lord to lead us. Father, I pray as we talk about this time of celebration, when you will come back to receive us unto yourself, that, Lord, you will just comfort our hearts with the truth that this battle isn't forever, that one day it's all going to end, and you have an eternal plan. Father, I pray as we examine the rapture, as we examine when it will take place, and we examine what takes place next, that God, you will teach us, help us to apply it, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus very simply here says, now look, as a summary, here's the deal. I'm going to heaven. There's going to be a time in between, but if I go to heaven to be in my Father's house, I'm going to prepare you a place to be there. And if I'm going to prepare you a place, hey, don't worry. I'm going to come back, and I'm going to take you there. I'm going there for one reason, to prepare you a place. And if I'm going to do that, I'm going to come back and receive you unto myself. Well, how exactly is that going to happen? What exactly will take place? Well, the Bible tells us that. Let's take a look at that. Number one, what will happen? Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Bible talks about this event. I was coming out of a business the other day, and there was a guard at the front door of that business, and I said, hey, he was kind to me when I walked in, kind to me as I walked out. And by the way, this is how you give people tracts. You don't have to just shove them down people's throats that you never talk to. But if somebody talks to you, my wife says this, if they say hi to you, if they begin to talk to you, if somebody starts a conversation with you, they are saying, please give me a tract. Please tell me how to get to heaven. If somebody begins a conversation with you, if somebody begins to talk to you, they're asking you for a tract. That's just it. And if you don't have one, shame on you. So I was walking out. He had talked to me going in. He started talking to me going out. I said, hey, thank you so much for your kindness. I said, hey, can I give you something really good? And he said, what's that? And I handed him one of these. I said, this will tell you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. He said, are you a minister? And I said, well, I'm a preacher. He said, well, I want to ask you a question. He identified a denomination that he was with. He said, you guys believe in the rapture, don't you? And I said, I sure do. In fact, I'm speaking about it this coming Sunday night. You ought to come and hear it. He said, oh, I don't think I'll be there. He said, how can you believe in the rapture? I said, because the Bible says there's going to be a rapture. He said, oh, the word rapture is not in the Bible. I said, well, I beg to differ with you. The Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I quoted to him a portion of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want to read it to you this evening. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. He says, but I would not have you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be unlearned, is what he's saying. I don't want you to not know what God says he's going to do. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. You see, the Thessalonians had been told, the Thessalonians were Christians that lived in Thessalonica, or Thessaloniki is the way you actually say it if you're Greek. But they lived there in Thessalonica. They lived there and they had a church there. And people had said this, Jesus has already come. The rapture has already taken place. And they said, what about those people that are already dead? What about people that have died? If Jesus comes back and these people have already died, what about them? And so Paul writes to comfort them, because they're thinking, if you've died before Jesus comes back, then you're not going to go to heaven. And Jesus, and so Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to comfort them. And he says, look, I don't want you to be unlearned. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those Christians that are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Don't sorrow as others who have no hope of ever seeing their friends and relatives. Don't be like them. For, he says, if we believe that Jesus died, and of course we do, and rose again, and of course we do, we've seen that, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. Now, how can they be sleeping and God bring them with him? Well, the Bible tells us that man is created with a three-part being. He's created with a body and a soul and a spirit. My soul is the real me. It's who I am when nobody else is around. It's my mind, my emotions, and my will. My soul inhabits my body. And because I'm physically alive, I can talk to you today. It's my soul that desires to communicate with you. It's the body that's the vehicle through which I'm able to talk to you. It's my body that allows me to dwell on planet Earth. The Bible also tells us that God is a spirit. And the Bible tells us that God created man with a spirit. The Bible tells us that man is whole, body, soul, and spirit. So my spirit is that part of me that has connection with God. It's my spirit that has connection with heaven. So through my spirit, my soul talks to God. Through my body, my soul talks to other people. Through my spirit, I can inhabit heaven. Through my body, I can inhabit earth. Body, soul, and spirit. That's who I am. Now, the Bible tells us when I get before I'm saved, I'm spiritually dead. I'm separated from God. But when I get saved, I become spiritually alive. Then what happens? I live my life. One of these days, my body dies physically. I'm separated from God. I'm separated from earth. I can't talk to people anymore. I'm not separated from God, however. My body is taken and it's placed into the ground. God's saying here, your body sleeps. Your body goes to sleep. It goes into the ground. But my soul and my spirit go to be with God in heaven. So my body is asleep in the ground. My soul and my spirit go to be with God in heaven. So the Bible says those that sleep, whose bodies are in the ground, will Christ bring with him. Why? How can he do that? Because my body is left behind. My soul and my spirit go to be with Christ in heaven. When he returns, my soul and my spirit return with him, and my body's still in the ground. Now look what takes place. The Bible says, for we believe that if Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep, whose bodies are in the ground in Jesus, will God bring with him. For we say this unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hold back or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. That word, those two words, caught up, in the Latin word for caught up is the word rapirio, from which we get the word rapture. So when he says we are caught up, we'll be raptured in the Latin. will be raptured together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, he says, comfort one another with these words. So what does the Bible say? The Bible says here, if I live a life and tomorrow I die, my body dies, it goes into the ground, it sleeps in Jesus. But my soul and my spirit, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. My soul and my spirit go to be with God, and I'm dwelling with God in heaven. But the Bible says that God wants man to be complete. And one of these days, when God is finished with what is taking place on this earth, when mankind gets to a point of absolute wickedness, when they get to a point where they're about to destroy themselves, when they get to a point where there is no more opportunity for anyone to get saved, the Bible says the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout. Now, who's going to be with him? You're going to be with him if you've been saved and you're already physically dead. You're going to be with him. My mother's going to be with him. My father's going to be with him. Those that we loved, I think of Tony Silva, he's going to be with him. Those that have gone on but to be with the Lord, they're going to be with him. The Bible says they're going to descend with the Lord. And the Lord, they're going to descend with him. The Bible says then the trumpet's going to sound. And what's going to happen? Those bodies that are in the ground, that seed that was planted in the ground, that body that the Bible describes as asleep, the Bible says it'll be quickened. In fact, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians and listen to what the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians. They had some of the same questions about the resurrection. How's it going to take place? In verse 51 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Paul says, behold, I show you a mystery. That means a secret. This isn't something that the devil knew about before the Lord came. This was something that the devil understood. It was something that was kept secret since the beginning of the world. Behold, I show you a mystery, a secret. I'm going to reveal something to you. He says, we shall not all sleep. Not all Christians are going to die physically. But he says, we shall all be changed. Somebody said years ago, that's an excellent verse for the nursery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. But that's not what it's talking about, so let me not confuse you. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Not all of us are going to die, but all of us are going to be made immortal. We're not all going to die because of corruption, but all of us are going to be made incorruptible. In a moment, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye, that quick, just blink your eyes real quick, that quick, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass that same that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's he talking about? He says that, look, your body went into the ground because it was corruptible. Your body went into the ground because it was sinful. Your body went into the ground because it was mortal. And your soul and your spirit went to be with God. But he says one day, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, a trumpet is going to sound. Jesus is going to descend from heaven, the Bible says, with a shout, with the voice of the archangels. That body that is dead in the ground, my father's body, which has been in the ground for 46 years, will be transformed. The Bible describes it earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 as a seed that goes into the ground. And when you plant a seed in the ground, that seed just seems to dissipate into the ground. You never see that seed again. But you see the result of that seed. It pops up and a stalk grows on, and from that stalk ears of fruit come from that seed that was planted in the ground. The Bible says that body is planted in the ground and God knows about it. You say, what if it's been dead for hundreds of years? What if it's disintegrated? What if it's been thousands of years? What about that? God knows all about that. What if it was burned up? What if it's ashes? God knows all about that. You see, God is the creator of life. God is the one that put it all together in the first place. And so God has the ability to put it back together. In the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel looked out at a valley of bones. And he looked out at the valley of bones. They were all scattered. They were all apart. And they were all dead. They were bleached by the sun. And he looked out at the bones and he said, and the angel said, a son of man, can these bones live again? And Ezekiel said, I don't know. He said, yeah, these bones will live again. And the bones were all brought back together and made into men. Bible tells us that Christ is going to do that. Your soul and your spirit, the soul and the spirit went to be with God in heaven. My mother, my father, your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, your whoever that believed in Christ, they went. But they're going to come back. Their soul and their spirit is going to be. And the Bible says their bodies, which are in the ground, will be transformed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, they'll be changed from the corruptible body that had decayed, that had been gone, that was able to die. That mortal body will become immortal. And it'll rise and be reunited with soul and spirit so that it won't be a two-part being. Again, you will be made whole, completely whole. God will restore everything the way it was when he created Adam and Eve. There will be a man that is perfect, body, soul, and spirit. Man and women, God will create. God created you, wanted man that way, and now he recreates us, and we are made whole in Christ. The rapture of the church. Then the Bible says, we which are alive and remain. At the time, Paul indicated this could happen at any moment. He says, we which are alive and remain, which gives us the idea that he felt that he would be part of that. We which are alive and remain will be caught up. So what will happen with us? Well, we live in bodies that decay. We live in bodies that hurt. We live in bodies that age. We live in bodies that have got problems. All of a sudden, those bodies will be changed. We're not all going to sleep. We're all not all going to decay in the ground. But after they are raised to meet soul and spirit in the air, we that have our bodies and our soul and our spirit, but an imperfect body, we shall be changed. We'll be made. This body which is corruptible will be made incorruptible. This body which was mortal will be made immortal. And this body then will rise to meet the Lord. First, those that sleep in Christ, they're going to rise. Meet their soul and spirit in the air, and they'll be with Christ. Secondly, in just that quick, we will rise. We will be changed. We may be walking through a grocery store. We may be flying on an airplane. We may be driving down the road in a vehicle. We may be walking in the park. We may be playing with our children. The Bible says, boom, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, will be changed and will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, what that means is this. That means that all that God was doing on this earth will stop. All that God was doing on this earth will stop. He was working through believers. He was working through the local church. But when he pulls us out, then all that was going on will stop. When will it happen? When will this take place? When is it going to happen? Let's take a look at that in Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Now, this is going to be an astounding statement to you. Revelation chapter 4 is written after Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Now, is that profound? You say, well, why do you tell us that? That's obvious, because you need to understand what the significance of Revelation chapter 4, that it comes after Revelation 2 and 3, and you need to understand what Revelation 2 and 3 is all about. Revelation chapters 2 and Revelation chapter 3 are all about Christ working in local churches. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 1 that Jesus appears to John the Baptist on the Isle of Patmos, and that he appears this way. He is Jesus Christ standing in the middle of seven local churches, and he's got messages that he's giving to the pastors of each one of those local churches to give to the local churches. And he tells some of them to straighten up. He says some of them to be patient. He tells others, you need to fix this. You need to be obedient here. And he speaks to these local churches. And Revelation chapter 2 and 3 is God working on this earth through local churches, and Jesus speaking to his churches, and that's how God is working. But when we come to chapter 4, something totally different takes place. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4 that God says to John, who is part of the local church, he says, after this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. The voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet. Remember, the last trumpet is going to sound. I heard the voice of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things that will be hereafter. Hereafter what? Hereafter I'm finished working with the church on this earth. I'm going to show you things that are going to take place after this time where I'm working all over the world in the church. He says, and immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like jaspers and sardine stones, and there was a rainbow around about the throne in sight like an emerald. And around about the throne, now listen, were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their head crowns of thorns. This is very important. The Bible tells us that John looks, he goes to heaven. After God is finished dealing with the church on the earth, he goes to heaven, and when he gets there, he sees the throne of God, and he sees these 24 elders sitting around the throne. Now, who are these 24 elders? Well, the Bible tells us who these 24 elders are. Look in chapter 5 and verse 8. The Bible says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Who are these 24 elders? These 24 elders are people that were saved and members of God's church. That's who this is. These are the raptured saints. They were on earth in Revelation chapter 4. Jesus said, come up hither, and I'll show you what's going to take place hereafter. After the rapture, we're going to be in heaven. We're going to be around the throne of God, and we're going to sing a song. In fact, look what the Bible says. This is interesting, because we sing this song in our church. In verse 11 of chapter 4, it says this, thou art worthy. You know, we sing the song, thou art worthy, thou art worthy, thou art worthy, O Lord. That comes from this verse. To receive glory, glory and honor and power. For thou hast created, hath all things created, thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created. Thou art worthy, O Lord. We sing that. If you've heard that, say amen.
Amen.
Yes, and now you've heard that, and you've heard it sung well. And you've sung that, okay? But you know, that's not really our song to sing. Because the Bible tells us, once that we see the Lamb of God and we see him and we understand who he is and we recognize Jesus, our Lord and our Savior and God, the Bible says, look in verse 9. And they sang a new song. There's a new song that we sing. And it says, thou art worthy, thou art worthy, thou art worthy, O Lord. That's the new song. you are worthy to take the book and to open the book. Why? For thou was slain and hath redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every tongue, every kindred and tongue and people and nation. You know what? I sing this to the Lord. Thou art worthy, thou art worthy, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory and honor and power. For thou hast redeemed us from all tongues and nations. Thou hast redeemed us, O Lord. That's the truth. That's who we are. You and I are the redeemed from every tongue, tribe, and nation. In fact, in this church, in this auditorium, there are people from all sorts of different tongues, tribes, and nations. There's some from some strange tribes. I don't even know where we're from, but we're from every different nationality, and we've been saved, and we're part of His family. We were saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's where we are. When does that take place? That takes place after, the rapture, and that takes place before the tribulation. Look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Go back to 2 Thessalonians. The Bible tells us this. Again, he is writing to the Thessalonian believers, and they're confused about the day of the Lord and the coming of Jesus and when he's coming and what's taken place, and has he already come or hasn't he come? So he writes to them in chapters 2 and verse 1, and he says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the gathering together of him, that ye be not soon shaken in your mind or troubled, neither by the Spirit or by the word, nor by letter from us, that the day of the Lord is at hand." Don't be troubled when we say the day of the Lord is at hand, or to think that the Lord has already come. "Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day," that is Jesus Christ coming to the coming of the Antichrist, "for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." That word falling away comes from a Greek word from which we get the word apostasy. The word apostasy doesn't necessarily mean a turning away from the truth of God's word. It very simply means a separation, or it could be a calling away. And that's what I believe it means. I believe he's saying that there's first going to be a separation. There's going to be a calling away of believers. The Antichrist is not going to be revealed until there's first a separation. Now, you say, why do you believe that? Because that's what the text tells us. a falling away. "Then shall the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." This is the Antichrist. "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things?" Now listen. "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time." There's something that's withholding him from coming. "For the mystery of iniquity," or self-will, "doth already work. Only he who letteth," there is someone on this earth that's holding back all sinfulness breaking loose. "For he who letteth will let." That word "let" means restrains. "He who restrains will continue to restrain until he be taken away, and then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth." Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself. That's for next Sunday morning. But I want you to see this. Jesus said, before that wicked one comes, or Paul says, before that wicked one comes, there's going to be a separation. There's going to be a calling away. And he says, he which letteth, he that's holding back sin, is going to be taken out so that he won't hold back sin anymore. Well, who is it that holds back sin? That's the Holy Spirit of God. What is the Holy Spirit of God doing? He's dwelling in us. How's he holding back sin? He's using us as the preservers, as the salt of this earth. When he is taken out, we are taken out with him. And after we are taken out, the son of perdition is revealed. Satan, the Antichrist, is able to move quickly. Jesus said, look, I'm going away. But, he said, I'm coming again. He tells us it's going to be in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. Those who have died will rise first and meet their soul and spirit in the air and meet Jesus in the air. Then we that are alive and remain will be caught up to meet him. When is that going to take place? It's going to take place right before the revealing of the Antichrist, right before the time of great tribulation. Well, then the next question is, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen next for us? The Bible tells us this, that we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We don't have time to turn there, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to stand before the Lord. As soon as we're taken up out of here, we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to reward us for those things which we've done in the flesh, whether they be good or bad. If you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, if you've asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior and God, if you came to a point in your life where you personally said, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that you're God. I know you died in my place to pay for my sin. And I'm calling on you and I'm asking you to be my Lord and my Savior and my God. If you've come to a point where you've done that and you've been saved, you'll be transformed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to be with him. And when you're there, immediately the judgment seat of Christ will take place. And we will all be judged for those things which we did in the flesh, whether we live to glorify him or whether we live to glorify ourselves. And we'll be judged and we'll be rewarded accordingly. Then the Bible says we'll enter into what he refers to as the marriage supper of the Lamb. We'll rejoice together in the fact that we are united with him and that we are his bride. And we will celebrate our home in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what's going to be taking place on this earth? The Bible tells us this. Then shall be great tribulation like the world has never seen. The Bible says that God's wrath will be poured out on this earth like this world has never seen. This world rejected Christ. They rejected his mercy. They rejected their opportunity to know him. They said, we don't need a Savior. We don't want a Savior. We'll do it ourselves. God gave them at least 2,000 years to receive him, and they've rejected him and rejected him and rejected him. They came to a point where they said, we don't want his church. We don't want him to control this earth. We don't want him controlling us. And it looks as though Satan has won because the Lord has taken us out. But God is going to purge this earth through his chastening, through a time of horrible tribulation on this earth. And the Bible tells us about it in detail from Revelation chapter 6 all the way to Revelation chapter 19. And next week, we'll look at it. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll just help us see, Father, that we don't have to go through any of that, that we can know we're going to heaven by putting our faith and trust in you. Lord, I thank you for the rapture. I thank you for the promise. I thank you, Father, that it works in your plan, that you're going to pull us out of here before you judge this world. I pray if there's someone here that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, that before they leave this place tonight, they'll put their faith and trust in you. I pray that you'll use this time together, Father, for your glory and your honor. And I ask this in your name.